Welcome to the PAH edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the pulmonary arterial hypertension community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Matt Granato, President and CEO of the Washington, D.C.-based Pulmonary Hypertension Association. The PHA is the largest patient advocacy group of its kind in the world, reaching over 20,000 people a week through social media, newsletters, and related services. Thank you for speaking with us today, Matt.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So May 5th is World PH Day. What can we say about this? Why does this holiday exist, and what is its purpose, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Great question, Larry. So World PH Day is an annual event that brings global attention to the rare lung disease that we fight for, pulmonary hypertension. The event really promotes the importance of improving the quality of life and raising the life expectancy for more than what we consider 75 million people worldwide that have PH. And it all started in Madrid in 2012 as a scientific symposium was underway after a toxic rapeseed oil caused PH in thousands of people in the early 80s. And this year, in particular, we're focusing on the theme of United to Cure PH. And this is a slogan that recognizes the global strides that have improved the lives of those affected by PH. And although the disease is really caused by many, many different things and factors around the world, it really affects everyone in very, very similar ways.
So it's a family of diseases, basically five main types, categories further into subgroups. The most serious of which, as one we cover, is pulmonary arterial hypertension. Can we talk specifically about that?
Absolutely. So it is the most common, and PAH occurs when the arteries that are in the lungs become like narrowed or thickened or stiff, and they force the right side of the heart to work a lot harder to push the blood through the narrow arteries. And that extra stress on the heart makes it very difficult to pump enough blood through the lungs to meet the needs of the rest of the body. And there are several types of PAH, including what we call idiopathic, which means that there's really no clear cause to what is causing it. There's heritable PAH, which is linked to very specific genes. And it can develop in relation to congenital heart disease, liver disease, or in some cases, HIV or some other connective tissue disease, such as scleroderma or lupus. And it can also be as a result, or it can also happen as a result of stimulant use, both the prescribed or drug abuse, such as methamphetamine and certain diet pills that were popular in the 80s and 90s.
And in some cases, people develop PAH and they don't know why.
Correct. That's what we call the idiopathic PAH.
What, if we can talk a bit about your background, what do you bring to the organization? What has been your past with patient advocacy groups? I understand you did work with a group concerning, is it maternal health, I believe?
Correct. So my background is in healthcare association management. I started over 20 years ago. I first worked in the blood transfusion space with patients and blood donors. Then I moved to the maternal health space. And finally, I got this opportunity at PHA. And one of the things that really attracted me to PHA, that in addition to working with healthcare professionals that were making improvements in the life of patients, I got to work directly with patients and caregivers. And that was something that felt very unique and an approach that I felt was really a 360 approach to fighting for a cause and bringing attention to a disease, not just with the healthcare providers who are an important part component of the fight, but also with the patients and the caregivers who are sort of right in center as part of the issue.
As I recall, a PHA was started by three women around a kitchen table in Florida.
That's right. That's how we like to talk about it. It was founded by these three women who had PH and a nurse who was the sister of one of the patient founders So it really started being a very patient-focused organization since its inception 32 years ago. And that that made PHA develop a very strong sense of patient-focused services, and most of them center around support and education. So we have a very extensive network of peer support through online or in-person support groups, email and telephone support lines, and our patient education is second to none. We provide webinars, digital and print publications, and video. We have networking through in-person events, such as our biennial international PH conference scientific sessions, and we also offer this free regional education workshops. And actually, to commemorate, to celebrate PH World Day, we have a workshop, a one-day workshop going on in San Diego on May 6th. And so we are bringing together people from the area to learn about PH, how to take care of themselves. Their family members are also invited, and healthcare professionals are part of the panels of discussion. And in connection with that, we also have fundraising events going on in Washington, D.C., two in Michigan, and we are going to use that to mark as well World PH Day.
Very interesting. What are the fundraising events in Washington?
So there's a walk that we organize every year, and patients and caregivers and healthcare professionals have an opportunity to participate in those walks. They raise a lot of awareness about the disease, and also they raise funds that go towards our programs to help patients. And also we have an arm of the association that put services for healthcare professionals as well.
One of the things we talked about briefly is the fact that doctors, primary care physicians, do not always recognize PH as a disease, frequently diagnosing asthma or COPD, something else. Why is that, and what are you doing to create awareness?
So PH is so rare that is not the first thing that comes to mind to a healthcare provider, a primary healthcare provider. Usually they would think that it's some other type of pulmonary issue, or sometimes that the patient needs to lose weight or have a better diet. So we're trying to put forth education to primary care physicians so that they can check the list and include PH in that. And if they suspect that that could be the case, what we recommend is that they immediately refer those patients to a specialist. And the specialist is going to be able to better diagnose that patient. And that is because patients who exhibit the signs would first go to their primary care physician, who would not necessarily suspect PH as the first cause because it's such a rare disease. So they'll go down the list of other issues, other pulmonary issues. So what we do is we have several education modules that allow primary care physicians to run through the list of what could be causing those symptoms and consider PH as one of them. And when that is the case, what we ask is that they refer that patient to a specialist who can conduct the test and properly diagnose that patient with PH.
Okay. To the best of your statistics, how many people have pulmonary arterial hypertension in the United States and worldwide?
So those numbers vary depending on the source that you're looking at. I've read in a document from the European Respiratory Society that about 1% of the population has PH. That's a huge number. We normally estimate about 30,000 in the United States. So again, a lot of people have it and they don't even know about it. So probably we're looking just at the tip of the iceberg with those that we know have PH. And we just don't know how big that iceberg is below the surface. Right.
And out of those, how many have PAH specifically?
PAH is a common, but it's not the most common of all the groups. However, when you combine, and I need to look at my notes, in the United States, people with pulmonary arterial hypertension and left heart disease represent 71% of all cases of PH.
Okay, and worldwide, do you have any statistics outside the U.S.?
So outside the U.S., there's many ways in which people get PH, and it's not always the same way. For instance, in places like Asia or Africa, the most common way of obtaining or acquiring PH is through what is called schistosomiasis, which is a parasite that is spread through water that is used for bathing and recreation.
Right.
So it's a very, very unique and different way of acquiring PH. However, the effects of PH on anyone's quality of life and life expectancy would be the same, regardless of how you acquire it.
And average life expectancy today for a PH patient is how long?
Well, we've come a long, long way. At the beginning, 30 years ago, when PHA was founded, we would say that patients would have, you know, 2 to 5 years at most. Now we see people living 10, 15, 20, 30 years with the disease. It's really become more of a chronic illness. However, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to improve the quality of life, because you could still live with it for 30 years, but not enjoy your life. Your quality of life would not be there, especially people who require multiple therapies or oxygen.
Right.
So I don't have an exact number, but I can tell you that definitely the number of therapies has skyrocketed.
As I understand, in the United States, there are 14 therapies available today for PH, right?
Yes, correct. So when we first started, there were no therapies for PH. Flolan was the first drug that was approved in the mid-90s by the FDA, and currently we have about 14 other FDA-approved therapies for PAH, which is the group that has the most therapies. And we are very excited about the future, because there is two therapies in the horizon, two new therapies in the horizon that are very promising, and I wanted to mention those. The
yes,
first
please.
One,
yes.
It's by Janssen Pharmaceuticals, who recently announced a phase 3 trial showed once a daily tablet of that combines two kinds of PAH medication would significantly improve the blood flow through the pulmonary blood vessels. So that's a combination of two therapies that already exist. But another trial, phase 3 trial by Merck with a new drug, showed that this new drug would significantly improve several important health measures, including the 6-minute walk and the exercise capacity. And these results would also showed a reduced risk of clinical worsening or death. So this particular trial we're excited about, because it's a complete different pathway to treating PH. Not usually we're treating the symptoms, but this would actually have the potential to reverse the damage caused by PH.
So basically treating the underlying cause of PH.
Potentially, yes. So we're really looking forward to seeing the final results of this trial and the approval of FDA and see how the drug performs in the market.
Very good. On that note, we'll wrap up. Thank you very much, Matt, for talking to us today. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.